What did you think of the New Jersey-Edmonton trade?
Well, you know what? It's interesting. I like to watch the Edmonton Oilers. I live here in Columbus, Ohio, but my family, my parents and brother and sisters live in Sherwood Park. So I know, you know, I follow the Oilers from afar, and I love watching their speed, how dynamic their young players are. But this is something had to change there. You know, you're in the bottom of the league every year. You've got all of those first overall picks. So Taylor Hall becomes the odd man out. And, you know, at first you think about Adam Larson. There's no comparison to the skill level of Taylor Hall. But I'll tell you what, I've seen him play a lot in New Jersey. We're in the East here in Columbus, and they love him there. The teammates love him. He's a great guy in the room. He's a character guy, low-maintenance player, and a great defenseman. So you're picking up a good piece. I know Taylor Hall is going to be missed. Listen, he's fun to watch on the ice, but something's not right in that dressing room, and I think hats off to Chiarelli in this deal because he's got to change it, and you change it with guys like Larson, who's low-maintenance and just does his job, and I think that's good for everybody there in the Oilers' locker room.
Jody, I understand what you're saying. That defense has been a gaping hole and a mess for too many years. It didn't matter how many great forwards they'd have with Hall getting McDavid in. They weren't going anywhere without addressing it. And I know they had to pay a premium to address it. But to me, this is more than a premium. Larson is a good young player who might become what the Oilers need. Taylor Hall is a sure thing. Am I coming out of left field there?
I don't think so. I think you've got some emotion, too, as a fan, as part of the Oilers fan base. But I think what you're looking for, ultimately, when you pay to sit in the seats in Edmonton, is consistency. So you pick up a guy that's consistent, like Adam Larson, and you can sit there. You know what you're going to get from him. Now, Taylor Hall, also, you got to think about this. You've got a lot of big personalities. A lot of guys want to be the man in Edmonton. Well, guess what? You got the man, Connor McDavid, coming up. Taylor Hall has been the man for a while. It hasn't worked out. It's going to be tough to watch him go, and he's going to do well in New Jersey. It's going to be a fresh start. I've been through trades. You get to put a fresh uniform on and start over. But you're looking for consistency. You've got enough skill. You've got a lot of speed, and you've got to give up something to make a change there, and that's what they've done here.
What do you think of Subban Weber?
I mean, I love it. I listen, another dynamic player in PK Subban. I think this is a locker room trade. I love Shea Weber. I mean, you guys can talk about his speed. He's losing a step. But he is, to me, he is the old school man of the league. And when you look at locker rooms nowadays, you wonder what's missing. You don't have the man sitting in the corner that everything has to go through. And Montreal is a hard market to play in. It's easy to be swayed by the media, the presence of outside opinion, and now they've got a rock in Shea Weber. I love it. I think that's a solid locker room pickup. I know PK. I mean, who doesn't love to sit in Montreal and watch PK Subban pick up the puck behind the net and fly down the wing? But another team that underachieved. And when you have this, this is what's happened. This is reality of being out of the playoffs and needing change. So huge move, and I like it for Nashville. Listen. I played for Coach Laviolette. He loves his defenseman to be nothing but leading the charge. So PK Subban is going to have the shackles taken off, and he's going to be all over the ice. So you've got two. I think it's a win-win for both teams. Like I said, Weber, the character, the leadership, you can't match it. And Subban is going to settle in an offensive-minded offense or as a defenseman, and he's going to excel.
I do, being a former player, Anthony Stewart, of course, who played in Montreal, tweeted this out. He said, I haven't seen the level of insolence the Habs have treated PK with my time in the game. The pundits will debate until they're blue in the face and come up with the most irrelevant reasons not to like him, but he can flat-out play. I urge those that have come before me to address the real elephant in the room and stand up, or it's going to continue. Him suggesting that, you know, this was more of a personality conflict than anything else. What do you make of that?
Well, yeah, that's part of being in a locker room. I mean, listen, I've been in locker rooms where there's big personalities that run the room, even though they're not wearing the C on the jersey. And that's just the reality of being on the totem pole or on the list in the pecking order of a locker room. And listen, have you ever been in a room or in a building with PK Subban? He is a very likable, very flamboyant. He's a guy that you know he's in the building. I was just at the NHL Awards with, and he was there. It's just a great guy to be around. He attracts people. He draws attention. And sometimes that's not always the greatest thing. When you're on a losing streak, when you're in a tight situation and it's all about one player, it doesn't always work out. That's not a knock on PK. That's who he is. But in a situation, again, where you're looking for stability and success, that's not always the card that you should play.
Yeah, that's interesting, Jody, because some people assume it means PK is a bad guy, and I think that's wrong. I've been in the room with him, and he's not a bad guy. But you talk about big personalities. It all has to fit together. I don't think you can overstate that chemistry, while it's hard to put a finger on and say what creates chemistry, it's still an important aspect.
Oh, big time, and you're right. He's not a bad guy. He's a great guy. And he does great things for the community. And I know the people in Montreal are going to be thoroughly upset. But once his team gets turned around and starts winning, they'll get it. That this, you know, it's a team. And it's weird and it's interesting to see the dynamic. And you guys in Edmonton, you guys had some of the best groups of teams to come together around unsung heroes and newborn heroes and leadership that just came. It just oozed it. And you guys really got to see it up front, and it's got to be built from guys that are low maintenance, guys that are consistent, and guys that are team first. And that doesn't mean anything about bad people. Personality and people, that's a different thing. It's about, at the time, what the team needs to have success.
Jody Shelley joins us from Columbus. Seth Jones, how much of this was or how much concern was there that Jones might get a big offer sheet?
Well, I think there was a little bit. I mean, there was a lot of talk about the restricted free agents. There's teams and general managers, I think, in desperate situations. And when you've got an elite player like Seth Jones, a right-handed shot, 6'5", 21-year-old defenseman who might have a contract problem in Columbus, listen, if I'm a GM of another team, I am definitely paying close attention to this situation. So I think the Blue Jackets knew that. They got him at a great number, under $6 million a year. He's got a long-term deal. He's going to hit free agency at the end of this deal in 6 years. It's a win for him. He's excited. He's in Columbus today skating. Skating at the end of June, which is pretty impressive here for these guys skating. But he was here in Columbus. He got the deal done. And I think it was a real threat in the sense of, the Blue Jackets and where they're at and what they gave up to get Seth Jones. He might have been in a position of leverage, but he came away, looks good on both sides from management, I think, from the player. Here in Columbus.
Yeah, Jody, I'm with you on that one. You look around the league, a big, strong, minute-eating kid like Seth Jones, he makes nice money. He's got lots of good years ahead of him for even bigger contracts. And that cap hit, man, that's friendly. That's a bargain for the Jackets, if you ask me.
No, I agree with that. I mean, it's kind of like when you're watching and all we're doing now is reading what you guys are reading about Seth Jones is not getting done, the deal should get done shortly. You start to wonder, the closer you get to to July 1st, you wonder what their camp is thinking, because, you know, there's big dollars and Columbus is almost as backed in the corner in the sense of what are they going to do? Will they match an offer sheet if it does come? Now, Yarmo did come out and say he would, but, there's a point to where you can't match something and jeopardize the future of the organization. So very friendly, long-term, and he fits into a young core here in Columbus.
Speaking of the salary cap, Fedor Tootin buyout, David Clarkson's health, it looks like he's going to be LTIR'd. I spoke to Aaron Portsline at Columbus, and he kind of thinks all arrows are pointing there. What else, what other needs do they need to try to get, you know, because last year was obviously a disappointment, Jody. Most people thought Columbus would be a playoff team last year, and they ultimately didn't get very close. What do you think is the number one need that they might try to address in free agency?
You know what's interesting is that I don't know if free agency is where they're going to really jump at opportunities. They've got a team here. The American League team won the Calder Cup. So they've got young guys, young prospects that succeeded in a long championship run. They did it in fine style, going like 17-2, I think it was. They had goaltending we had Korpisalo here who went down, lost the net to Forsberg, and he went 12-0. So we got some great internal competitions. Zach Werenski is a young defenseman drafted last year to the Blue Jackets. He was a standout. So there's some good internal players, and I get the sense that there might be some character players that the Blue Jackets might go after in this free agency, but there's not one savior. There's not one guy that's going to come in and save this team. I think it's from within. I think they like the friendly competition, and I think they want to complement with character because when this team had a little bit of success, a taste of success, I'll say, when they played the Pittsburgh Penguins in the first round of the playoffs a couple of years ago, they were a hard team to play against. They love that identity. Our fans love that identity. So I think that is where they want to get back to with this team and get on that track again.
Jody, always good to catch up with you, man. Hopefully Canada Day or free agency for our American friends lives up to today, but something tells me it'll be tough to match.
Yeah, well, I hope you guys enjoy the concert tonight. Great cause for the people up at Fort McMurray. It's a great thing going on up there. Have fun, and thanks. Enjoy the week, guys.
You betcha.